This is Lamp Kenmore at the Kenmore Team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We are here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Sounds like you've had an exciting, busy week.
It is a little bit unbelievable. In fact, we'll incorporate some of that talk in today's show, but we have a lot of things happening. Some properties in kind of those upper price ranges showing some life again and moving. Had some offers on some that were in the 425, another offer on one that was 335. So the buyers are out there and they are looking, and it's been great. So
Very good. Now,
McKay, I gotta ask you though. We did that. This last weekend. We did that Raise a Racket event for the tennis and the Boys and Girls Club. Where were you?
I don't do tennis.
Okay, got you. I must admit though, I told her that I would admit on the air. That Mike, Brad and I, Brad from 97 Rock, and we did lose to Stacey Lee.
From the key, our sister station.
Yes, we did. So it was, mind you, it was 7-7, and it took a tiebreaker, but, she did knock us off. It took Brad and I a while to recover from that.
Wow.
So, and we've got with us here in the studio you're still laughing about that. We've got our lending expert, Mr. Mike Denslow with Wells Fargo. Mike, how are you?
Great, Lance. Yeah, I played a little tennis in my day. You should have.
I thought about that, and next year I know they're going to be doing it again next year. We definitely want to get you out there next year because
the RINGER.
Yes, definitely. Raised about $33,000 for the Boys and Girls Club. Had a blast doing it, and had a lot of fun. So thanks to the radio station and everything they donated, and Brad and those guys for being on the auction block, and we just had a blast. I couldn't walk very well on Sunday. But we did have a blast. So, well, one of the things, and I have to apologize. We did have some crazy type legal contract negotiations going on, to where I was not able to get the market update guys in from the other market. So I had to reschedule them. Last time their problem, this time my problem. So a couple technical difficulties, but we will get that show rescheduled. But I did want to talk about, because we are seeing, I think there was a little bit of pent-up buyer demand. We are seeing a lot of buyers coming back to the market right now. And one of the things I really just wanted to talk about was a little bit was kind of our pledge to our home buyers. And it's really important because you're making a big choice with a big transaction. And so we've kind of laid out what our buyer's agents follow and kind of what their pledge is. And so one of the things that we start out with is to exclusively represent your interest, the home buyer. A lot of times if you visit new construction sites and you go to different areas, it's nice to have a third-party perspective that's helping you evaluate the differences between those three versus the person that's representing solely that product. So one thing our buyer's agents can do can take a look at those different builders, take a look at the different options, and help you make an informed decision, point out some things you might not have seen. So really exclusively representing your interest in that process is a huge thing. Number two is it seems simple, but to always say to keep confidential your financial information and price intentions. Whenever available, we will share with you the seller's motives. So that's one of the things we can try to find out. If they're willing to tell you, as looking out for a buyer, what is the seller's motives? Why are they selling? Where are they moving to? Now, the selling agent on their side, they might be trying to protect that information and not tell you. But if we can find that out and make that helpful in a buyer's negotiations, that's what we'll do to help you get the best possible price. One of the things is to diligently search for the type and location of property that meets your needs. And that's the thing, is always being on the lookout as we're traveling around. When we're looking for other buyers, sometimes you'll be helping another buyer and you'll see, and it might not work for that buyer, but you might think, oh my gosh, I should have called Jim about that. And then letting them know that that property does exist, mm-hmm. and to be on the lookout for that. To point out the strengths and weaknesses of various properties. This happens all the time. Happened to me this week. Somebody that's moving from Northern California, they sent me a listing, and it was a new construction. And they said, we can't figure out why this property is priced so well. Like, what the heck is going on, Lance? You know, and I've already kind of developed a little bit of that trust with that buyer.
Mm-hmm.
And so I immediately emailed them back, and I said, please note that, yes, it is a beautiful home. Now, if you look to the left and over the roof line of the home, you'll see guardrails in the picture. And those guardrails are protecting a freeway, and this house backs up to the freeway.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they sit back and they said, oh my gosh, this is exactly why we have you helping us in your home search, because that was not an option for them. It will be for somebody. That house will sell to somebody for the right price, but for them, they had kids and they were concerned about being that close to the traffic and stuff. So immediately it wasn't an option, but it's those type of things and evaluations that we can do consistently. Mm-hmm. We know the area, we know the neighborhoods, and it really makes a big difference to help the buyers with that. And so that is a huge point. That's always, and then the last point in our pledge is to negotiate on your behalf as the home buyer the best possible purchase price, terms, and other pertinent conditions. And that's a big deal, because it comes down to really knowing what's in those contracts, what's in those addendums. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, different homeowners, different builders, they have different addendums. And if you don't know what the dates are, there is a lot of language within those addendums that state, for instance, if you don't do X by a certain date, you're going to forfeit your earnest money. So a lot of times when you're putting up $2,500 on a bill and there's deadlines to meet along the way, you want to make sure you're not missing those deadlines. For instance, if you didn't get a pre-approval letter in a certain amount of time, if you changed to a different lender and failed to notify a builder, and then if something were to happen later on and it wasn't to go through, they could come back and use that as a reason to keep justified within the context of the contract to keep the earnest money. And so it's not that people are out there, they're trying to sell houses, not keep people's earnest money, but there's also a time period where a seller feels like they've tied up a house, and to do that and not sell it to somebody else, that's the deposit that they're taking. So we're very mindful of those dates. It's our job to know what's in those contracts, and it's our job to point those things out to people. We get now to some of the things of when can we help and when can we work with buyers. And this is what a lot of buyers don't know, is that, for one, is that we can work with builders. In fact, we do it all the time. I think it was December, November, we sold 3 or 4 Hayden homes, you know, and so we work well with different builders and New Traditions in the past. We've sold their houses, and we just had a great closing with Landmark. So there's a lot of great builders we have amazing experiences with around town. And one of the things about it is we kind of can help manage that process for the buyer. Let the buyer know what they should be looking for, when they should get their inspections, what they should expect from a builder that they might be getting or might not be getting, and we can help manage that process.
Because it's kind of a different timeline when you're dealing with new construction.
It is. It's a different animal for sure. There's different expectations about when things will be done and won't be done. Sometimes there's weather delays, scheduling delays with subs. You know, you can't do landscaping at a certain time of year. And if that landscaping couldn't get in but it was part of your contract, you might need to do what they call like an escrow holdback and hold some money in escrow that will pay the landscaper later. You want to set up mechanisms that protect you and make sure that money's there, as opposed to just kind of winging it and saying your landscaping will be in. So there are protection mechanisms that we can help the buyers set up to make sure that that transition goes a lot easier.
Because you're building from scratch and you have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, that's exactly right. And for a lot of people that we help, it's their first time through that process mm-hmm. with a builder. And anytime you do anything that's new and you haven't done before, there's a lot of things that you have no idea about.
Clueless.
What comes next, you know, and how long does it take to order lights? Do lights take 8 weeks to get in? So it, when you
custom see, cabinets,
when you see
flooring.
The electrician there wiring, it might be too late almost to be picking your lights. But a lot of times you're not, you know, thinking that far ahead. Mm-hmm. And there's always workarounds. If we're missing one or missing another, we can go to and supplement with some local items that might be standard. They might not be exactly the same as your package, but there's substitutions that we can do along the way.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a builder, I think one of the best way that a builder put it to me one time is building is just managing a series of mistakes.
Wow.
And so, they have a tough job. Yeah, there's things that happen. And so whether it was their mistake or a sub's mistake or not, it's really just a management of the process to help get you the product that you want. And so it's nice to have a third-party viewpoint to that. We love working with our local builders, love selling new construction, and we're good at it. We have experience in that background. Our agents have worked with builders and have worked directly for builders in the past. So they really bring a unique perspective to that, and we use that knowledge to help our clients get into the homes that they want. So those are a couple of the highlights of working with you as a buyer and what we can provide. I've got probably way too many pages of information to get through. We're coming up on our first hard break. When we come back, we're going to talk property. We're going to talk new listings.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk to Mike Denslow about lending, and we're going to talk a little bit more about what we can provide you in buyer representation.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here talking about what we can offer to buyers, why a buyer would like to use an agent, and why they should use an agent for their representation and some of the things that we can help with. It's always a little bit different how things are set up. Utilizing an agent on the agent side is generally a buyer's agent. It's kind of a weird setup for people that don't do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But generally how it works in our MLS system with our other agents and to kind of foster that cooperation is when we list a home, for instance, you know, you're going to charge a seller X percentage because of antitrust laws and stuff. We don't say what percentage because it's negotiable. So you're going to charge X percentage depending upon what your agent is. And then generally what agents do is take that and divide it by two. They keep half of it for the list side and their marketing and what they've done to promote the house. And then they offer the other half of that percentage to the other buyer's agents in return for doing the research and bringing a buyer and representing a buyer. So as a buyer on that side of the coin, it's not costing you any extra to use an agent. That fee is being paid out of the seller's commission. So for starters, in the first place, is there's no upfront cost to using an agent. So you're getting all the knowledge, experience, and know-how and negotiations of an agent. And from the buy side, it's not costing you anything to do that. In reality, it's probably saving you a tremendous amount of money from mistakes made, negotiating power, and mm-hmm. stuff that can happen. So on the buy side, we're always glad to forge that relationship with our buyers. It's a lot of fun, very unique, and what we ask for is we ask for loyalty from our buyers, that we help them through that entire process,
mm-hmm.
Because it is one of those things where you are spending money and time and showing them houses and stuff, and so we provide them the same loyalty and we ask for the same loyalty in return. So that's kind of how that process works. That's how the MLS is kind of developed and that's how agents get paid. And so that's really a nice situation for buyers to go into. The other thing that really comes up a lot is is writing the offer and negotiating. You know, it's really an interesting process to go through. Mm-hmm. And that's where the local market knowledge really comes into play. You say you're working with a builder and a buyer comes in, knowing what that builder's homes normally sell for, knowing what the resale values in that neighborhood are. Really, just as we would price a home for a seller, a lot of times what we end up doing is we end up repricing the home with our opinion of value for our buyers. Mm-hmm. So much less, you know, a buyer says, I finally decided I want 123 Primrose Lane. You know, that's the house I want. So what we'll go through and do an analysis of, okay, what should that be priced at? Regardless of what they're asking, what does the market say that that house should be priced at? We'll do a double check, mm-hmm. do an analysis on that house, provide that information to our buyers so they can analyze that, and then help them write the best possible offer to get the best possible price on that home.
And the local knowledge, is it a neighborhood that's going to grow? Are they putting in infrastructure? Are you out there all by yourself?
That makes a huge difference. And a lot of times, yeah, those are things that people don't think about. Have you heard about the new school coming to the area? Mm-hmm. You know, what's going to be coming around the corner? Is the street going to be widened and you're potentially going to lose the first 10 feet of your front yard?
Mm-hmm.
You know, those type of things come up a lot. And so just letting people know what's there, what easements exist, make a big difference. But before we've even gotten to this point, we hope that they've talked to Mr. Mike Denslow of Wells Fargo. Mike, we've been talking a lot this week. I mean, shoot, pre-approvals and sending people over and stuff. And I mean, the system's working, and I know you must be, working your tail off on the other side, getting all of this handled. So how's things been going over there?
Nah, things are busy. I like to say that I've got good problems. I love dealing with, you know, first-time home buyers and experienced ones as well. But, you know, just walking people through, a lot of people have had bad experiences in the past, so it's fun to sit down with somebody and go, wow, I didn't know you could do that. I didn't know that was an option, you know, those kind of things. So mm-hmm. it just goes to, you know, working for Wells Fargo, company's been around 155 years, reading a lot lately about brand recognition and brand value and those kind of things. And Wells Fargo keeps doing things that are increasing value to its shareholders. And while other banks are not doing so well, Wells Fargo is increasing market share. Fourth quarter, of all the loans closed in the fourth quarter of the United States, a little over 30% of those loans were done by Wells Fargo.
Wow.
We are dominating out there, and it's awesome locally. You know, myself and another guy in my office, Scott Unger, were recognized top 2% in the nation within Wells Fargo.
Congratulations. Mm. Yeah, fabulous. Wow.
That's why you had trouble getting through the door today.
Yeah. Nice.
Just kidding.
Top 2%. That is phenomenal. That's
great.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's all about having the team. I mean, Scott's got a great assistant with Lisa and myself with Gretchen, and you kind of build these teams to say, okay, how can we most efficiently and best take care of our clients? And there's a lot of paperwork, as you can imagine. And so we're out there trying to meet with our clients, go through all of their options, and be their financial, you know, go-to when it comes to mortgages. And when you send someone over, you know, we want to sit down, we want to talk to them, what's their plan, okay, and get information and figure out what they can do. You know, is their idea of what their purchase price is, you know, going to fit within their budget? The big question is, you know, what's my payment going to be if I put this down on this much of a house? And, you know, we can run those numbers pretty quickly. The big thing is we do this every day. Most people do it every, you know, 4 to 8 years, but we do it every day,
right,
multiple times.
Right.
So there's programs changing all the time. So we keep up with those. There's a lot going on, and just specific to our market, it's been great, you know, and I still think it's that good weather. I think that, people feel like, hey, it's 45, 50, 55 degrees outside. Let's get out there and look.
It was like flipping a switch. I mean, after the snow mm-hmm. got rid of all that snow and stuff, I mean, the floodgates just totally opened last week, and it's just been, you're exactly right. I think it's a mild January, and we're kind of seeing the benefits of that in the real estate industry right now.
Yeah, I totally think so, because our phone's ringing, which is great. Again, good, you know, good problems. And taking care of people, and it's man, there's just so many options out there, especially just one example, new construction. I know we've talked about it on the show a lot, but within new construction, there's so many extended lock programs and different things that Wells Fargo has that most other places don't have. That was another thing in the last year. I think I was third in the state for new construction mortgages. First in Eastern Washington. So my team, we do a lot with new construction.
Mm-hmm.
Just understanding the process, just subtle differences, you know, that's what it's all about. Oh, there's going to be a final inspection by the appraiser at the end. Oh, if you go with VA, then there's going to be this extra process at the end. There's just, you know, there's all these little nuances, right? And yeah, that's what they call them.
Well, that's exactly right. And that's kind of what I was talking about in with the writing the offer and negotiating. You know, I mean, knowing that changes, even minor changes in a contract, can constitute a counteroffer, because that's officially what it is. So taking a look at what you are doing when you're making even a minor change to a contract can affect the overall integrity of the entire contract.
Yeah, so on our end, I mean, going back to, well, I guess where we started way back when was, if you're working with your buyers and you're wanting to show them new construction or whatever, pre-approvals, right? And we talk
right
about this every week, in town versus over the internet versus out of town.
Mm-hmm.
An in-town pre-approval from a lender and even a mortgage consultant such as myself, that the seller knows and
right
knows the integrity of that letter and the, you know, those people's, you know, that reputation. You know, that helps. That makes it a stronger offer. You know,
it
like,
does.
Oh, you're using, you know, so and so. Oh, okay, good. You know, yeah, they know that the things have been done, the necessary steps of the pre-approval have happened.
No, it makes a big difference when we see those come through. It's really nice, especially when I always get a kick about when I see your pre-approvals come through from other agents' offers. You know, so when I'm presenting to one of my sellers and I see a pre-approval letter from Mike Denslow, I'm like, oh gosh, this is great, phenomenal. I know the background's been done, it's been checked. I mean, we're gonna when I present it to the seller, I honestly can present it with the fact of, like, when I get Mike's pre-approval letters, these close. So, you know, so that added value is, I think I had one like that this week, is why I'm laughing, because that's exactly what happens. And it makes it a lot better. It really makes us be able to truly evaluate that offer.
Oh, that's so great. Well, just to wrap up my segment, you know, Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is one of the most extensive product lines in the industry, which I keep saying. Somewhere in there's going to be a product for the clients that are coming in. And give me a call, 736-2621. That's my office line. 531-9507 is my cell. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., Equal Housing Lender. And last, Lance, who's your pick for the Super Bowl?
Oh
no.
Oh man. That's a tough one. I think there's another talk radio show that gets into that. Yeah, see, I heard who did I hear the other day? I think I heard Clint Didier talking, and so I'm not even gonna pretend to get close to that. How about yours? You must have one then.
I am thinking that the Giants are going to take it.
Okay, the Giants are going to take it. Okay.
I'm not going to be watching because the Giants knocked out my Packers, and the Patriots knocked out my wife's Broncos and the Ravens.
So we agreed to
our children, we're going to let them watch the Puppy Bowl at halftime.
Well, I think we might be on the TiVo program ourselves because I think we have a 7-year-old's hockey game in Wenatchee that might say otherwise.
Oh.
We've got some great property. We're talking about first-time home buyers. We're talking about properties that would fit for them. And I tell you what, I just listed, I couldn't think of the more perfect property that would fit for a first-time home buyer right now looking, or even somebody downsizing. In mm-hmm. West Pasco, we just listed this week, 4206 Cornish Lane. This is one of those three-bedroom, two-bath Ramblers. Large, bright living room. It has an open kitchen, slider access to the backyard. It's on an oversized lot. It's a bigger lot than just some of the postage stamp size ones you see over there in Pasco. So it's on an oversized lot, fully fenced. I mean, this is a fabulous home, and it's at $135,000. It's only a couple of years old. I think it's like four years old, roughly. Mm-hmm. And so fabulous to get that three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler, $135,000. So 4206 Cornish Lane. If you're looking for that type of plan in West Pasco, give us a call. This is an amazing, amazing one. Probably the next best price home in Kennewick. This is the number one price per square foot in this market, in this price range of $180,000. I've got a two-story home in Shadow Run, four-bedroom, two-and-a-half bath, large open kitchen. Exterior and interior have been freshly painted, new linoleum into the bathroom, so just redone, new carpet throughout, huge master bedroom, fully fenced backyard, and they're at $180,000. So this house is just down there below $90 a square foot. To get into Shadow Run for that, you can't do it. When you pull up the search results and you rank the actives 1 through 10 like we do, we rank number one on price now, and the sellers are ready to sell. So that is one that is just a fabulous one to take a look at. So buyers, as we wrap up, there was just one other thing that I wanted to mention that we talk about, and that is having earnest money prepared when you come to the table to write an offer. And what earnest money is it's required at the time your purchase contract is accepted. It goes into your escrow company's trust account, and it's really kind of looked on. It's like a deposit on the house. It helps the seller feel that you're serious about the purchase. It gets credited back to you at closing and can be used towards your closing costs and your down payment, but it's really just kind of that good faith consideration that you're putting down for that contract on the house. Usually the larger amount you put down, the more serious it shows that your offer is.
Mm-hmm.
Earnest money is generally refundable for a contingency reason. Say you were to back out, the inspection was bad, you know, they don't keep your earnest money. If the inspection's bad and you disapprove the inspection and the contract cancels, you'd get your earnest money back. If you couldn't get financing when you went to see the lender. But what it's designed to prevent is somebody just, say, walking away for no reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, then the earnest money is going to be in question, and it's going to be up to the contract to decide where the earnest money goes. So really, it's kind of that good faith estimate deposit on the house. People ask all the time, what's the appropriate amount of earnest money? It's kind of a moving target. Sometimes it depends on prime price range. A lot of times, though, when we're $100,000 to $300,000, generally we're seeing a lot of offers come in that have 1% earnest money. So on a $150,000 house, $1,500 in earnest money. I've seen less. I've seen more. And it's up to – that's part of the negotiation. And really, that's part of your offer. It's one of those nuances that can say a lot about you as a buyer,
mm-hmm.
Either way. So you kind of want to get that right when you're able to. So definitely a point not to just be glossed over or looked over. And McKay, just like I said I would be, I've got three pages of notes left, and I know we're out of time. So I once again, I just appreciate all of the business. The calls from the radio show in the last mm-hmm. couple weeks have just been really just kind of off the charts. I mean, a lot of you listeners have been calling in, using us as a resource. Really had some great conversation with listeners this week, and so thanks a lot for all of your calls. Once again, we're at KenmoreTeam.com. Or my cell phone, 727-8977. And Mr. Mike Denslow, how can people get a hold of you on the lending side?
Direct line at work, 736-2621, or cell phone, 531-9507.
All right, well, thanks again for having us in. And, McKay, we will see you back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.